They wonder, well, what is God's voice? How do I know? And so they've played this game, and so you find that you just can't recognize God's voice because it's all kind of mixed up with your own feelings and all different kinds of things. But we have a promise in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That God has ordained the ways that we should walk. Okay? He's ordained them. In other words, God has it all planned out for us to walk in his ways. And so, God wants to communicate to you and I where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to do with our lives. You remember last week we looked at how God, his first desire is that we become like Jesus Christ. That's his will for us. Now we get some practical points on how we can know he's spoken. And so he's ordained the ways that we should walk. And in Isaiah, depending on your nationality here, 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So very often what we think is our ways is not necessarily God's ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are not necessarily our ways. But there are some practical guidelines that God works in, and he works through avenues, if you like, through certain avenues to confirm what he's saying to you. And it's those that I'm going to share with you today. Someone once shared these with me, and I'm going to share them with you. Very practical kind of ways that God speaks, so we can know that God has spoken. And if you put these together, you can know that God has spoken. If you put them together, if you take one out and just use one, You'll probably find and realize, you know, you'll get frustrated. But if you put them all together and see the whole picture of God putting these particular ways that he speaks, if you put them together, you can have confirmation. Know that you're being guided right. And know which way you're going. So, these, as I share them with you, are not in any particular order. In other words, God doesn't, you know, speak like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in that order. Sometimes it's 5, 3, 4, 1, you know, or whatever. But they're not in any particular order. But I'm going to give you in this order. First, God does speak to us by putting concepts, thoughts into our mind, okay? So, it's true that God speaks to us in a direct manner or puts thoughts into our head, into our mind, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, you have to remember that you have been born again of the Spirit of God, that God has come to dwell within you, that the Holy Spirit lives within you. God himself is seem fit to make his home in you. And so the Spirit of God within you leads you, guides you. You do have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. You do have the mind of Christ. And so by faith you can know that when God says things, he can say them directly to your mind. You do have a direct link with the Almighty. He's not billions of miles away, light years away. He lives within you. and he speaks to you directly. Okay? He has access to your mind. And he can call you. Only one problem. How do you know which voice is his? Because there are many other voices in the world. There are many other influences and voices. And if you were to just only go with this one thing, God speaking into your mind, you know, some sections of Christianity have in the past, all they've done for their worship and their guidance is just empty themselves before God and allow, just open their minds and allow the Spirit of God to flow through the mind. I think that's what the Quakers used to do. But that can also open you up to all kinds of thoughts of your own flesh, of just Satan whispering in your ear. Okay? So if we were left with this, just this one thing, then we'd be in trouble. But God hasn't left it there. God has given us other ways to confirm those things that he's spoken. Now, let's give an example, just a ridiculous example of God guiding us, okay? We make up a fictitious story. Here I am. It's smoggy. It's, I'm kind of a little bit restless. And things not going like I feel, you know. I'm waking up every morning here in smoggy LA and I'm just really, man, this is really weird. And then I wake up one morning and God says to me, go to Hawaii. And I go, far out. Amen, Lord, I'm into that. So, naturally, you know, I'm into it because I want to go and everything's fine. And yet, okay, I'm mature enough, hopefully, to realize that, you know, this might kind of be me, you know? And so, how do I know that this voice that I heard when I woke up, and it was really clear, I really felt this was an instruction, Malcolm, I want you to go to Hawaii and preach the gospel, okay? Well, the second point I want to give you to confirm the things that God has put into your mind is his word. In Psalm 119 verse 5 it says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Now, God will confirm to you that is guiding you to do through his word. And I don't mean this kind of business. No, that'll fit. Well, Lord, I really wish you'd kind of show me something here that'll confirm my desire and trip and thing that you've put in my head to go to Hawaii. Let's see, what can I find here? Now let's see. No, it's not that. It's as you are reading through your Bible systematically, in your daily reading, as you are reading through the particular portion that you're studying, that you're going through, God will confirm to you, either at the very same time or very shortly, just as you are reading through. You're not playing, you know, Christian roulette and flipping from one thing to another. You know, you heard about the guy that did that flipped through and it said, came to one part and it said, and Judas went and hung himself. Well, that can't be right. Flipped on to another, go and do thy likewise. You don't do that kind of thing, right? That's silly. And so, you walk in the light. You systematically read through. And you just might be at that point, and let's imagine, here I am off to Hawaii. I get to that point that in the Word, I'm just reading through, and it says, go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel. This is in my reading this particular day, you see? You know, and it just confirms in me, oh, God's sending me out to a different part of the world to go preach the gospel. He confirms it in my heart as I'm reading through. Well, that's fine. That's great. So, I jump up out of bed. You know, I get my suitcase out. And I just go running out into the kitchen and say to my wife, the Lord's called me to Hawaii. He's confirmed it this morning in His Word as I've read through. I'm off to Hawaii and to preach the gospel. And she says, oh, really? Well, who's going to take care of the kids? You know, where's the money coming from? What are you going to do when you get over there? You know, who's going to pay the rent? You know, who's going to look after things in the home while you just go rushing off to do this at this time? Oh. So the third point I want you to see is that as God speaks to your mind and confirms it in His Word, He will also begin to confirm it through the circumstances. Okay? He will begin to show you those things that you need to know, those things that need to fall in line for this thing to happen. Okay, it's no good, you know, you getting all caught up with the things of God and serving God and not providing for your family. You know, or not taking care of your responsibilities. Oh, well, I'm quitting school because God's told me to go to Bible school. You know, and you just kind of drop out and drop everything that you're doing at that time. Or God's called me to go here and do this, so I'm going to quit that I've been doing for 5 years and I've only got 6 months to complete. Or, you know, you just drop out of things. Or you don't fulfill your responsibilities. In other words, you just become a stinking testimony to people round about you, because you say that God has told you to do this, and the very thing that you're going to go and do is leaving a stench behind you and an evil, bad, horrible testimony, because people are looking at you and saying, man, that's a Christian, that guy's just a flake. He just jumps from this, that, and the other, and he never fulfills his responsibilities. He never takes care of the things he's supposed to take care of. God tells him to go here and do this, he starts to do it, and then God tells him, go here, over here and do this. His God is schizophrenic. He's weird. And so, if God is guiding you, he will provide. He will provide the necessary flow for you to fulfill your responsibilities. For you to take care of those things that are necessary for you to take care of. He'll do that. And you don't go, you know, just taking from over here to go do this thing and leaving your children without bread, you know, and not fulfilling your responsibilities. God doesn't do that. God doesn't send you here and leave a horrible mess over here. He doesn't do that. That's not God guiding. That's not God's voice. Because God doesn't want His name dragged through the mud. God doesn't want you to leave behind you a trail of wreckage. God wants you to be a testimony. That's why last week the thing I was saying with you ties in with this. First thing you have to be is a witness of God's glory. God wants you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's His will for you. and you know, leaving behind you a horrible testimony is not what God desires. Do you want to go tell the people that can come in if they want to? So, God will provide. It's amazing how many eyes are over there at that. Okay. Have a seat. God will provide for you. God will help you take care of those responsibilities. And if I'm going to go over preach to Hawaii, then I feel I have to have my family's permission. I feel that my wife has to be happy and content and know from God that it's the right thing to do, that she can handle the responsibilities of the home while I'm away. She can take care of the children all right. The children, everything's taken care of, and everything's fine in that area. I have to see and be responsible, because that's my first priority. So, but that's all right, because it just works out that my wife says, fine, you can, that's okay, the kids are taken care of, we have this little bit of money over here that kind of turned up last month, that'll take care of things while you're away, and you know, Joe Blow over in Hawaii phoned up a couple of days later and said we'd like you to come over, and we have this opportunity for you, and we'll pay your way over, or maybe somebody, you know, somewhere other, the money came for me to be able to buy a ticket and go and do whatever. And so we're flowing along that way, right? And beaches, here I come. No. But I'm still not sure, see? I'm still not positive that this is the right thing. And one of the ways that God really does confirm to my heart what I'm supposed to do is through counsel. Okay? Now, what I mean by counsel, let me explain what this means here. I don't mean that you're going to go to some shepherd and he's going to tell you what to do with your life. I do not mean that somebody will make the decision for you. It's very hard. As a counselor myself, people often want you to make the decisions for them. You know, they feel that they come sit down and, you know, tell me. You know, well, I'm not a prophet. I can't sit here and say, thus saith the Lord to you, go do this. Occasionally, maybe we have a word from the Lord for someone else in that way, but it is, you know, it's not an everyday occurrence, not in my life anyway. Kind of, for me, God works in this kind of way that I'm sharing with you, through guidance. And I am not to play God in someone's life. When they come and sit with me and say, what do you think I should do? Then the thing I feel my responsibility is to share with them what God's Word says, to try and help them clarify what their options are, to try and make suggestions of what God might be saying for them to pray about, for them to consider. But never for me to say, you know, you must do this, unless I feel really, really strongly about it and someone is really out of line with the Word of God. I mean, if somebody comes for guidance to me and says, what do you think I should do? I'm sleeping with my boyfriend. Do you think I should carry on doing it? You know, obviously then I'm going to say, repent! No. You know, obviously I'm gonna say to them, well, that's not really right. You know, you have to repent of that and get right with God and quit doing that. It's wrong according to God's Word. But I'm not gonna, when people say to me, do you think I should go do this, go to this school, go to that school, do this, that, and the other, I can share what I feel is a sensible thing to do, but I can't make their mind up. The kind of counsel I'm talking about on God guiding you or confirming to your heart that you're doing the right thing. And what I mean by counsel in this instance is someone you know who is a godly person, man or woman, who you know love the Lord, you know that they follow Jesus, that they're living in the light, and yet they don't know anything at all about this situation. They don't know that God has spoken to me, or I feel He's spoken to me about going to Hawaii. And without them knowing whatsoever about this particular thing, God uses them to speak to me. It might be something very light, like we may be at lunch together, and this person might just lightly say, and remember, it's burning in my heart, it's totally obsessing me at this particular time, go do this particular thing. I'm caught up with it. It's really on my mind and on my heart. I haven't said anything to this person. He says something like, boy, it'd really be nice to be in Hawaii right now. You know, or he says something like, perhaps he just kind of confirms it by saying something that speaks to your heart. Let me give you an example. I went to a Bible study one time, and it was a whole kind of, the guy was doing a series on knowing God's will. And some of these things that I'm sharing with you, he was sharing, and I'm passing on to you. And I was praying about and had confirmation about doing some music. Okay, this was a year and a half ago perhaps. But I was thinking about picking up kind of my music ministry a little bit more, and maybe be doing another album and just maybe being a little bit more active on musical side. And yet there were pressures from different areas saying to me, you can't do both. You can't be a pastor, teacher, counselor, evangelist, and whatever, and be a musician. You can't do that. It's not on. It's not the right. You've either got to be one or the other. Just give everything to one thing or everything to the other. And I thought, well, maybe that's what it is then. I just have to really choose. And I was praying about a choice, see? Or whether or not I could continue doing what I'm doing, ministering, and also pick up a singing ministry again. And I felt that God had been confirming it in different ways. And after this Bible study, I went up to my friend who I'd known for some while, who was teaching it. And he wasn't from America, he was from Britain. And I went up to talk to him. And just to renew fellowship, and I just was talking to him and said, how you doing? And he was asking how I was doing, what I was doing, and I didn't mention anything about music. I just said, well, I'm doing a teaching thing at Calvary and counseling. I'm assistant pastor there now, and God's leading me that way, and it's really neat, and it's wonderful. We had a brief talk about some of the music groups in England, and he was he's really excited that they'd all broken up. It was just a joke. But because Alwyn and I toured with him at one time. He's really a neat bro. And we were just kind of sharing lightly about these things and stuff. And as I say, I didn't tell him I was getting involved in music at all. Just told him what I was doing. And then as we were leaving, it was kind of, well, we'll see you then, and Lord bless you, and I hope we run into each other again and stuff, and bye-bye. And his parting words was, well, see you then, Mark, and God bless, and keep on singing, just lightly, just kind of glibly, just a thing like, well, praise the Lord, just instead of praise the Lord, or instead of, keep on keeping on, it was, well, keep on singing. And I went, God's voice. See, God spoke through him, and I knew it was God speaking. See, I knew it, and I know that some of you have had that same experience when somebody has said something they don't know anything about the situation, and you know in your heart that's God speaking through this person, because he is a channel that God can speak directly through without him knowing anything about it at all, and he doesn't know anything about it to this day. And I went on to start doing some music. It kind of confirmed in my heart to start doing some, and God led me on to do a new album and stuff like that. And it's really neat that he does guide in that way, and you make your decision to do it. And it was possible. I'm still here teaching, you know, I've still got these doors open for me to do music, and then, you know, and so forth. And there's nothing's impossible with God. He doesn't have to work in a box, do this or do that. He can guide you in all different avenues and different ways. So, counsel. You know, somebody just speaking to you without them really knowing what they're saying, what they're doing. Just God speaking through this person. Well, that might still leave you in doubt. Okay? You've had all those 1, 2, 3, 4 things come together, and yet you're still in your heart, you've still got this reservation, you know, you're just going, well, I really don't know. You really don't have a peace about it. And that brings me to the last point, which is peace. Okay? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful." It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Or in the Greek, what it means is let God's peace be the umpire, you know, in your life. You know what an umpire does, whatever. And if all these things come together and you still don't have that peace, then just wait. And just, as I shared with you last week, just stay in that room and don't move until you've got that peace to step up and walk into the next room. Just stay where you're at. Don't move until you have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Until God comes. You've got to wait for God to confirm it in your heart. What He's guiding you to do might be the right thing. Okay? It is the right thing for you to do. It's confirmed it all. You know that you've got to do this thing. But now it's just that you don't have the peace inside. So you just have to wait for this one last thing to come together, to confirm that it is indeed God's will. There are some things in my life that many of the things have been confirmed through these points, and yet I still don't have the peace. God is not, you know, let go of the reins and said, well, go for it now. You know, He's not released me to do this particular thing. And I have no peace. I'm disturbed in my spirit. And I don't feel at ease to set off to do a certain thing until I have that peace inside, that I know all is well, and I know that God is guiding me. And if I would set off to do it, I know that I would be out of God's will. Now there's a difference between that and kind of being fearful, or rather, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of, not afraid, but paranoid. Not afraid, but a little anxious, or a little wavering. You know, we sometimes waver in faith when God tells us to do something. I don't mean that. I think even when we've had all these things come together, we still have to step out in faith. I don't mean that. I mean, you just don't feel right about doing it at all. And if you did do it, you know that it would really, you know, harm your relationship with God. You begin to feel, well, this, you know, I'm not in the groove with the Lord somehow. I've kind of stepped out a little bit here, and we don't quite, you know, God's withholding His peace from me from some way. I just don't feel good about it. It's just not the right thing to do. And a good thing to do with all these points is to follow them through when you're making major decisions on what you should do. And look for them. And they'll come in all different ways, and in different manners, and in different orders, but they will come. And God will bring these things together and confirm in your heart where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do. And a good exercise sometimes is to write them in your Bible. If you feel God has spoken to you, write it down somewhere and wait until God confirms it through these other things. And watch these things come together, that you might know for sure that God's guiding you, that you might not be tossed to and fro wondering whether it's this, that, and the other, or you know, whether really God's spoken, and get confused and run to this place and run to that place, and you're just wasting up all your energy instead of sitting down and saying, I'm just going to rest until I know that God is guiding me, is definitely directing me. And these are just some pointers that will help you. And just as a close here, I want to share the story of my friend and one of the ways that God guided him in this manner. He was kind of a teacher at a Bible school in England. And he would come over here to minister maybe 2-3 times a year on a regular basis, because this Bible school that he was working with, they had connections over here and things for him to do over here. So he would come over and minister in the schools and the different classes that they were linked with over here. Now, there came a day when he felt in his heart that God was saying, I don't want you to come anymore. That you are going to stop coming to the United States. And he, at this time, was very tired. He had some problems back in England. His health wasn't too good. And this flying backwards and forwards wasn't doing him any good. This hectic kind of schedule that he had, he felt was bothering him. Just wasn't fitting together like it should. And God confirmed through his word as he was flying back from one of his visits. I can't remember the exact scripture, but God gave him, as he was reading through his reading, the book that he was studying at that time, God just spoke to him through the scripture, told him that he was going to be staying in one particular place. So he wrote it in his Bible, that God had spoken to him. And he didn't say any more. But you see, he still had a responsibility to the Bible school that he was a teacher at. He eventually became the principal of the school. But he had a responsibility to the school. And if he was under their ministry, and if they wished and desired him to come out here, then he was supposed to come. That was his responsibility. So he didn't say anything. Just kept it in his heart. And then he came back for one more visit, and again was still very tired, and felt in his heart that God was still saying to him, you know, I'm going to stop this, things are going to change, you're not going to come out here very much more. And he went back, and when he got back to the school, the head of the school came to him and said, I want you to pray about this. I know that you really have a good ministry in the United States, but we feel in the school that we would like you to stay here. We need you around. We want you to stay here and take on more responsibility. But of course, we don't want to rush you or hassle you anyway. Go away, pray about it, seek the Lord, and see whether... And he says, no, I don't have to pray. I don't have to seek the Lord. And he just flipped open his Bible and says, look, there's a day, that's when God told me I wouldn't be coming anymore. And so, then he had the peace in his heart. And he never came again for 10 years. And God made him the principal of the Bible school. First of all, he was the director of studies, and now he's the principal. And he comes over here, he was over here just recently. God guides. As I shared with you last week, God wants to guide you. And if you will apply these simple principles, and I'm sure there are also other things that you know that God uses in your life to speak to you about, if you look for these things, these guidelines in your life, just to be sure you know that it is Him saying, do this. And He can bring these things together in a matter of hours, minutes, whatever. But sometimes it takes a little bit longer. He might tell you 2 years. You know, He might tell you now, you know, that you're supposed to go here or do this. And it might take a year, 2 years before He brings it together. But He can bring it together just like that, so quickly that it'll blow your mind. Because He placed a desire in your heart, you're seeking Him about it, and these things just really come down and get confirmed to you. And you know He's guiding you. And He wants to guide you right. Doesn't want you to be confused, and doesn't want you to take His leadings lightly, or He doesn't want you to go around saying, you know, God told me to do this, do that, and the other, and when He hasn't spoken at all. And so, I want you to be solid, be consistent, be you know, sensible. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth, I think it was him, or some other guy in the turn of the century in the Pentecostal movement, somebody asked him and said, what do you think is the greatest of the spiritual gifts? And he said, spiritual common sense. In other words, just the sensibility, the wisdom, or just the, you know, the common sense that God has given you. Sanctified common sense. That, he said, was the greatest spiritual gift. And it's time for me to go do my wedding. Let's just pray, and then Hugh is going to take over and we'll have some music and some sharing. Father, we thank You that You do guide us, that You are a God that desires to just be the captain of our ship and just to guide us through life. Take us on from one thing to another. When You desire to send us somewhere, Lord, You can make it very plain. That when You move, You really do move. And we thank You for that. Pray, Lord, that You would just clear up in anyone's heart any confusion there might be over knowing Your will. And You would just really confirm to our hearts Your plan for our life in Your own good time. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of Side 2 and the end of the message. Correspondence to Malcolm Wilde may be addressed to Pastor Malcolm Wilde at Cornerstone Church, 3500 North Courtney, that's Courtenay Parkway, Meredith Island, that's Merritt Island, Florida, zip code 32952.